So I'm going to pass it over to Mary Yerlina now. Mary's the hemp program manager. She's done an excellent job in the last couple of years to work with growers. A year before that, she was an inspector, basically going out and taking samples. And Mary has been really supportive of Maine growers and has been trying to do as much as she can to help them, you know, be able to grow crops here in Maine. So with Mary, why don't you take over, and I'm going to just keep moving the slides for you.
Okay, thank you, Gary. So as you already know, DACF was asked to gather information from stakeholders about the best type of hemp licensing program for Maine growers. And we were also asked to research what other states were going to do in 2020 with regard to a hemp licensing authority. Next slide, please. So we held four stakeholder information gathering meetings. That's what we call SIGMEs. We did two in-person and two virtual ones. We would have liked to have done all in-person SIGMEs this year, but because of COVID-19, that turned out to be difficult to do. In fact, we were hoping to have a hemp presentation at MOFCA's Common Ground Country Fair and have a SIGME as part of that. But as you probably all know, that fair got canceled because of the pandemic. So we were unable to do that. So the SIGMEs had a lot of informal exchange, a lot of off-topic discussions around hemp. And what was revealed in some of these meetings was kind of an uneven knowledge base about the regulations. We also did two online surveys, one for hemp farmers. The survey invitation went to about 250 or so hemp growers over the past couple of years. We had 29 respondents to that survey. We also put the electronic survey out on the department's hemp bulletin. It's gov delivery system, which went to a lot of self-subscribed recipients, and 20 respondents filled out the survey for that one. And the online surveys provide better quantitative information because they're asked specific questions and have specific choices, so we can do a little bit of statistics on that. With regard to other states, we did an electronic survey. We belong to the National Hemp Regulators Group. It's sort of an informal group at this point, but we meet every month or so. We have access to all the contacts in each of the states that are involved in hemp licensing. We also get to have conversations with these regulators over our web-based meetings from time to time. And we also use the USDA state status table to check in on some of the states who do not have active hemp licensing programs. And then finally, we put together all of the information we got into the Resolve report, which we submitted to the ACF committee on December 15th. Next slide, please. So with regard to the states, and this is like current up to the moment information, 90% of states have USDA approved plans. 45 states and both territories, Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands, are licensing their hemp growers with a USDA-approved plan in 2022, which is now. 50 tribes, have approved plans, so that's 92% of the tribes. Only about six tribes have deferred the authority directly to the USDA. USDA will directly license growers in five states and four tribal territories, as I just said that, and no state expressed an interest in pursuing dual licensing authority. And Maine is alone in its undecided status as of this point. Next slide, please. Stakeholder survey results. So these are some of the takeaways that we got from the surveys and the SIGMEs. What was pretty clear is that hemp growers do not want to be licensed directly by USDA. They like interacting with the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. We are a good buffer between the grower and the USDA. Hemp growers would like the total THC threshold for hemp to increase from the 0.3% total THC threshold to 1% total THC threshold. And that is a pretty strong feeling among most of our hemp growers who are growing hemp for CBD, for the flower, and the resins contained in the flower. Access to lending institutions, crop insurance, federal assistance programs, these things are important to growers. I do have some percentages on that. I think 68% of the growers in the electronic survey said that access to federal programs was important. 72% said that access to banking and loans was important. And if we were to have a rogue program, for instance, access to these things would not be available. Access to lending institutions, crop insurance, federal assistance programs, all of these were important. And even though a lot of our growers market within the states, some of them, you know, did indicate that, yep, they do sell to out-of-state markets, maybe in New Hampshire or neighboring states. There's some internet sales. So it's important that there are some other options besides just the state of Maine for their hemp. Next slide, please. Some more of the SGMI discussion topics. Definitely felt that there was confusion about the regulations. I think some participants in the SGMIs didn't quite understand that our program's threshold for defining hemp with 0.3% Delta 9 THC was different than some other states, which had gone over to the USDA definition of looking at total THC. This is confusing stuff. I don't blame people for being confused about this. The USDA felony ban, definitely objectionable. No one thinks that that is a good thing, but growers didn't indicate that it would necessarily stand in their way from getting a license either. 0.3% total THC threshold makes no sense for CBD producers. All of them felt that, you know, it would be more efficient, they'd get better quality phytochemicals from their plants if their plants were allowed to mature a little longer, and perhaps their total THC threshold would be closer to 1%. So that definitely came through. Marketing is an extremely complicated topic. Hemp processing and products are what should be regulated, perhaps, and not the growing of hemp. That was definitely discussed at some of our SGMIs. And there was also frustration around banking and insurance. Next slide. Here we go. What type of program? So this was a specific question in our electronic surveys. And definitely the USDA licensing option, whereby growers would directly interact with USDA, was not very popular. Amidst the hemp bulletin subscribers, we had maybe 5% of folks who said that that would be an okay scheme. We don't know if they are growers or not, but amongst our growers, the hemp farmers, which is in the upper left, no one thought that that was a great idea. So kind of split between having a rogue program, which is in the yellow, and having a department-run program with a USDA-approved licensing plan in place. All right, next slide. So there's three options for a hemp authority in Maine, and I thought I'd run through each of them. So the first one is that the department runs a USDA-approved program and that we would be in compliance with USDA's final rule, and it would be the Department of Ag that issues the license. It's similar to what we're doing right now, except that our hemp regulation would have to be in compliance with USDA's final hemp rule. The second option is that we don't have a program at all and USDA licenses Maine growers directly. And the third option is that DACF runs a rogue program, that's what we're calling it, that doesn't comply with USDA's final rule. And this option is actually kind of suggests that we'd have a dual licensing authority in Maine. So we could have a the state would have its own rogue program with its own rules and regulations, and growers who perhaps need to access out-of-state markets or who don't agree with the rogue program can directly get a license from USDA. We think that that would possibly be okay to do in Maine when we talk to the USDA program about it. All right, next slide. So the first option, DACF runs a USDA approved program. The pros and cons are these. So the pros would be reduced confusion for growers and consumers. One rule for the nation. It would no longer be one state has this definition of hemp and another state has another definition. That was the whole point of the USDA hemp final rule, is to sort of make one uniform platform for hemp. Maine hemp sold and Maine hemp would be able to be sold and transported anywhere if we had an approved program. Our growers would also have access to farm assistance programs, financial institutions, and insurance. And DACF would continue to provide services and advocacy as we've been doing. We would also be able to do performance-based sampling, which is a thing, an opportunity that's in the USDA final rule, where some growers, say you're doing hemp research, or maybe you're growing microgreens and your hemp plants never get even close to producing flowers, we could excuse them from sampling because THC would not really be an issue for that particular crop. The USDA does not provide an opportunity for them to do performance-based sampling at this time. So this is something that they are giving the state programs an opportunity to do. So the cons of DACF having a USDA-approved program is that our state statutes would have to change, including for felony prior convictions. We would have to adopt the stricter THC requirements that we have mentioned. And the current number of licenses are not going to fully fund the program. So we need to keep ideas flowing about how resources can be garnered to keep this program going. Next slide, please. All right, second option is the USDA directly licensing growers. The pros, once again, Maine-grown hemp could be sold and transported anywhere. Those licenses would be recognized by everyone. And access to federal farm assistance programs, insurance, and banking institutions would be good. The cons are growers are going to be responsible for hiring a sampler to come out to their fields and sample hemp. And the growers are going to be responsible for figuring out what lab to send them to and interacting directly with the USDA about all of those things. There are no fees that the USDA is currently charging. However, there will be fees associated with hiring an independent contractor and paying for the lab tests. So we've looked into those, and it looks like they would be very similar to what the state is currently charging. And perhaps even higher if you live in a sort of a remote location in Maine. Another con is the stricter THC requirement, the 0.3 total THC. USDA does not do performance-based sampling, and there's unease and potential risk around the USDA directly regulating growers in a state where there is legal marijuana. Next slide, please. Finally, we have the Maine Rogue Program option. The pros is that we could keep popular elements of the program, which are not currently in compliance with the USDA, so that one of those things might be raising the total THC limit to 1%. We wouldn't have to do criminal background checks if we didn't want to. There's no reporting to the USDA Farm Service Agency by growers. But there are cons. One big one is that we would be in violation of federal law. Markets would be reduced. Gary did mention that already because we are a pilot program with a different interpretation of the THC threshold of hemp. Massachusetts has not been accepting Maine-grown hemp. into their state for processing. That's a problem that will be amplified under this particular option. There will be no access to federal farm programs, and there'll be more difficulties accessing banks and insurance services. When we talk to other states about a rogue program idea, this came up a lot. This was a concern. Potential DEA enforcement against non-USDA licensed growers is something that we should definitely keep in mind. And the dual licensing authority will add some extra work for local law enforcement. In essence, if local law gets a phone call about a field of cannabis growing, is it hemp? They would have both the state's program to check into and also the USDA's program to check into to figure out who has authority over that particular grow site and what is actually being grown there. And it's also potentially confusing to define hemp differently from other states, very clearly confusing. And I think that would add to, it would be best if the confusion was reduced. All right, law changes required to comply with the federal hemp rule. This was LD 33. We would need to change the 10-year prohibition on licensing if an applicant has been convicted of a felony related to controlled substances. Hemp licensing program would need to be added to the list of programs that have this 10-year prohibition. We would have to define key participants in a hemp farm operation, and all of those key participants would be required to submit a criminal background check. The exemption from licensing of 3 plants for personal use per adult would go away. In essence, all hemp would need to be licensed. And we would also have to remove the confidentiality around hemp businesses and location information. States and growers would need to be regularly reporting that information to the USDA Farm Service Agency. And right now that information is confidential. Next slide. All right, I guess that is the end. Thank you so much. And we're happy to try and answer your questions.